Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of Family Talk, as we've been focusing on the sanctity of human life all this week. And, Doctor, we have something special in store for today as well.
Well, we sure do, Lou Ann. You'll remember that we aired a program with Gary Bauer just 2 days after the general election on November the 4th. And we said at that time that the results of that election were monumental for the pro-life cause. And conversely, they were catastrophic for the pro-abortion forces. But the media has remained largely silent about these results. They don't talk about it.
That's about to change.
didn't then and haven't to this day. But we're going to blow the cover on it, because the outcome of that election was so significant, and we want our listeners to be aware of them. The changes that occurred in the House of Representatives primarily, but also in the state houses of government, should be celebrated by everyone who supports the sanctity of human life. Mm-hmm. And we have two pro-life warriors with us who helped to win that victory. Marjorie Dannenfelser is the president and chairman of the Susan B. Anthony List. She is also one of the founders of that organization, which seeks to educate the American people about life issues, and as well as to promote candidates and legislation that supports life. Mm-hmm. She also serves on the board of the Alliance Defense Fund, which is headed, of course, by my good friend Alan Sears. She was also recently named as one of Newsweek's top 10 new faces of the Christian right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is a positive thing or not.
I knew what was coming.
That may be an insult, but anyway, what that means is that people on the left, because Newsweek does tend to represent those folks, are worried about her and by the influence that she's having. Also with us today is Marilyn Musgrave. She is the project director for the Susan B. Anthony List Votes Have Consequences Project. She also served as a member of the United States House of Representatives for the 4th District of Colorado, our home territory here, from 2003 to 2009. And I'm telling you, she served admirably in that role. And she was the chairman of the Federal Marriage Amendment, which took a great deal of courage because she took a lot of heat. And it also influenced future elections for her. And she's a hero of mine. So, Marilyn, I guess I should call you.
You better call me Marilyn.
Okay.
And thank you for those kind words.
You remember the times that we met there in Washington?
I remember when you came into my office and we prayed together. Those are precious memories to me. And I just can't tell you how much you've meant in my life and the raising of our children, and just we're so proud to have you in Colorado, Dr. Dobson.
Oh, my.
So proud.
Well, I appreciate again so much that you did to defend marriage. We lost that battle. I was speaking a couple of weeks ago at the Awakening in South Carolina, and I mentioned the fact that so many congressmen and so many senators came to the microphone at that time and said, we don't need an amendment to protect marriage. There is no threat to marriage. And now look what's happening in California and other places across the country.
Absolutely. I remember when I carried Defense of Marriage in the House of Representatives in Colorado as a state rep. And even though the Hawaii Supreme Court was recognizing same-sex marriage, we didn't need any legislation. And what they can't win in the legislative arenas, they are planning on winning in the courts. So, of course, legislative response is most appropriate, and we're seeing that unfold every day.
Well, we're going to be talking more about that issue. Today, we're going to talk primarily about life. And Marjorie, I'm going to start with you. Tell us what the Susan B. Anthony List is all about. When you helped to found it, what did you have in mind, and what is its primary mission today?
Well, we started it when I was in my living room listening to Dr. Dobson's advice about my strong-willed children, and I was, organizing out of my closet, basically, no email, just a fax machine, and doing everything from home. And of just a small group of women with hardly any money, but a lot of determination to meet the feminists on their own ground, who claimed that somehow abortion would liberate women. And I, my opinion had been changed by human beings and the Lord. And what I saw as when I was working in the Congress was a well-oiled machine that funded these pro-abortion women running for office, and they were taking over and speaking for us, and they didn't.
Yes.
It was Barbara Boxer in the House back then that I have to say I'll have to give her all the credit for starting the Susan B. Anthony List, and Patricia Schroeder, bless their hearts. They were a real inspiration, and Emily's List, the number one PAC in the nation at the time. So we believed very strongly that we had to have women's voices countering those voices on the floors of the House and the Senate, and really going toe-to-toe on legislation that would protect women and unborn children. And the men behind this, Congressman Dornan at the time, Congressman Smith, Congressman Hyde, they were all for it because they saw that this is a complementary and important role. So our little, you know, seed money of about $5,000 that we gathered in the beginning and working out of the, you know, working out of my closet, has now grown, because of all the good people who have come to it, to almost 300,000 members. We've elected 90 members of Congress over the years. We've been a pivotal part of unelecting some people who shouldn't be in Congress. And I'm very proud to say that people like Marilyn Musgrave, who we helped elect, and then I was able to lure into helping other people, it created a beautiful network gives the name political machine a good name.
Marilyn, what is your responsibility there at the Susan B. Anthony List?
Well, I do want to say, first of all, Dr. Dobson, that the protection of the unborn child is a call on my life. And so getting with Susan B. Anthony List is just the most wonderful fit for me. It gives fulfillment to my life every day to work in this noble cause. And I'm the project director to deliver the message, votes have consequences. When we cast a vote, who we elect certainly has consequences, especially for the unborn child. And the votes that were cast in Washington, especially for the greatest expansion of abortion since that dark day that we were talking about earlier, since Roe v. Wade, has consequences. And as Marjorie said, we have helped unelect some people. And it was heartbreaking to see so-called pro-life Democrats cave on the big one. And as I worked on bus tours in the South and the Midwest and back to the Midwest again, we wanted to let voters know that their elected representatives, in that case, voted for Obamacare, again, the largest expansion of abortion since Roe v. Wade. And we delivered that message, and that vote that those representatives cast for reform of our health care system did indeed have consequences. And as Marjorie can tell you, those pro-life Democrats, for the most part, are no longer in Congress.
Well, I mentioned in my introduction that Lou Ann and I had done a radio program with Gary Bauer just 2 days after the election. And I based some of the things I said during that program on an article that quoted the two of you. And it had to do with the members of the House of Representatives that are coming in, and especially their views with regard to the sanctity of human life. And I have some of those numbers in front of me, and I want to share them with our listeners because the results of the election will explain what's occurred there in the House of Representatives. 80 out of 93 freshmen coming into the House of Representatives are pro-life. I mean, 80 out of 93 people are taking their seats there, and they are committed to the unborn child. And out of the 435 members of the House of Representatives, 244 of them are pro-life. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the entire leadership of the House is now pro-life. And the number of pro-life women in the House has increased by 70%. I want to say to our guest, how did you and the other pro-life folks that were working so hard on getting the right people elected, how did you pull that off? I mean, 80 members of the House of Representatives are pro-life. Yeah. And these are freshmen.
Well, you know, the truth is, we didn't. We just opened the door for voters to walk through. We just made sure that they had the information that they needed. And I will say, this is a day for celebration for the pro-life movement and celebration of the blessings of liberty of this country. I mean, I feel like you and I, everybody listening, has known forever that we have all the tools that we need to restore our country and our Constitution and the right to life. We have everything that we need. The problem is sometimes some don't avail themselves of it. Well, this was an election where when we were able to get the information to the people about how their members had voted on health care and abortion and health care, they didn't like it, and they let them know. And another big piece of unreported news was the number of people who were actually voting on this issue. A third of voters said that abortion affected their vote, and of that group, 73% voted for the pro-life candidates. So look what pro-life people all across the country have done. You can't even call it a movement anymore. This is just now who we are as a nation. Mm-hmm. And so the consequences now need to come on the legislation coming out of the Congress.
Luann, do you remember, and I know you do, in the month prior to the election, we kept saying here on Family Talk, if you will come and spend 15 minutes mm-hmm. and let your voice be heard. Mm-hmm. This can be an historic moment for the family, for marriage, for life. Yeah. And it happened.
Absolutely.
And people
yeah.
did.
Yes, and it's yeah. important to come back and point that out. We need to rejoice in these victories.
And you know the House, Marilyn knows better than anyone, the House is the body most responsive to the will of the people. So it makes total sense that that's where the pro-life voice could be heard the strongest, but it is a new day, and now we just have to hold our friends' feet to the fire and make sure we get some results.
Well, I want to come back to that. Marilyn, you started to say.
Thank you. I was just going to say, Dr. Dobson and Marjorie, when I started out in this political arena after, much like Marjorie, lobbying from my kitchen table, hers was a closet with a fax machine, I was told, don't talk about the abortion issue. You know, don't say you're pro-life. Just be quiet about it. Well, of course, when it's your deeply held conviction and you think that it's a very proper role of government to protect the unborn child, you will talk about it. And I did. And when I went into Congress, there were four pro-life women serving. And we know what a unique voice, what a complimentary voice women have to stand with the heroes of the past, Henry Hyde and Dornan, and now Chris Smith and Lipinski, a Democrat from Illinois, and all those people. But what was amazing, even sometimes the political experts don't get it, life was a winning issue in this election cycle.
And it's always billed as a loser.
Oh, I know. So it was a winning issue, and this seemed to be an election where people were interested in courage and integrity and authentic individuals. And we are so proud to have been a part of electing these pro-life heroes who did not whisper that they were pro-life. They boldly stated it, and we have high expectations for them in this 112th Congress. And it is so true that the House is the most responsive to the people, and that is why we saw this, you know, again, 80 out of 87 new Republican members that are solidly pro-life. And then we have the courage of people like Congressman Dan Lipinski from Illinois, you know, sponsoring legislation to take away our tax dollars funding of abortion. And so it was a monumental election cycle, and the left, the media doesn't want to talk about it, but the life issue was front and center. And Dr. Dobson, Susan B. Anthony List, spent immeasurable effort fighting the reform of health care that included government funding of abortion. We shed a bright light on that funding so people could take a look at it. And again, as Marjorie said, when it passed because of pro-life Democrats giving in to the most pro-abortion president in our history, giving in to former Speaker Pelosi and her pro-abortion agenda, when we reveal that to the voters, we open the door for them to say, we're not taking this. And now we have a great deal of work to do in this 112th Congress for repeal.
You spent millions of dollars, didn't you?
Yes, we spent millions of dollars, and as Marjorie said, we have almost 300,000 people participating in this effort around this great nation, pro-life people that are committed to seeing policy coming out of Washington, D.C. that reflects the majority of Americans' view that life is sacred, that we are pro-life. More and more women are pro-life. The political pundits don't get that either very often. More and more young people are pro-life. So we want to see those policies coming out of Washington that reflect our values.
And again, here on Family Talk, our hats are off to you women. For those of you just tuning in, we're speaking by phone with Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave and Marjorie Dannenfelser. Both of you are highly associated with the Susan B. Anthony List. Can one of you just explain for me briefly where that name comes from? We know she was a leader in the suffrage movement, but why did you choose that title?
We chose that title so people would ask just that question. So thank you for asking it. It is because Susan B. Anthony, who was the movement behind women's suffrage, she was really the standard bearer, and all her compatriots, all the women involved in that movement, were pro-life. They didn't stop to think. They didn't have that word back then. But the idea that somehow you could disconnect the rights of a woman from the rights of her unborn child was just simply unheard of. They were a unit. They were one. And that is what women know in their heart of hearts. And that's how the women's movement actually began. They were the women who were the women in politics originally, and they got it right. Well, something went wrong in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. We all know that. And women's rights somehow got turned on its head and became a standard bearer for the abortion right. Susan B. Anthony's called abortion child murder. Her best friend and comrade and working for the right to vote was Elizabeth Cady Stanton. She said, when we consider that women are treated as property, it's degrading to women when we treat our children as property to be disposed of when we see fit. The original author of the Equal Rights Amendment, Alice Paul, called abortion the ultimate exploitation of women. So they weren't messing around. They really meant it. And the feminist movement not only just got it wrong on a philosophical point, they have harmed women and injured children and changed people's lives for the worse and changed our culture in ways that we won't know till we're in heaven. It is so deep and wrong. And what we have decided to do is try to just be as best a voice as we can possibly be for the liberating voice that really the pro-life woman's voice is.
Marilyn, we have reason to celebrate not only the changes that occurred in the House of Representatives, but on the state level as well.
I think one state, just as a great example, is Wisconsin, where we have tried to run and elect people for a long time and have been so frustrated, and our friends there get so frustrated, but no one's ever given up. This time, the entire delegation coming from Wisconsin is pro-life. The entire delegation coming to Congress is pro-life, and the governor is pro-life. And things have completely turned around in the space of one election and their state legislature. is all pro-life. I mean, that is a sea change. That is big news.
That is huge news
for the pro-life movement.
Ladies, there's so much to talk to you about, but tell us if there is legislation planned that will advance the cause of life. I'm speaking of Congress particularly.
There are our top two pieces of legislation. Our priorities have to do with taxpayer funding of abortion. Sad that is where we are in this fight, but in reality, we are all made complicit in abortion in this country because our tax dollars are used for it. So the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, sponsored by Chris Smith and Dan Lipinski, would be a government-wide statutory ban on any taxpayer funding of abortion. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to do this every year in every department. There's just one law across the board. None of our money goes to abortion. That is an idea whose time has come, and we can make that happen. The other is the Title X Abortion Provider Prohibition Act, sponsored by Mike Pence, and that ensures that abortion providers like Planned Parenthood don't receive money from us through the Title X program. And that is another idea whose time has come. And there are naysayers out there thinking that we can't do it, but I say we can, and I would love to see this president look at those two pieces of paper on his desk in the Oval Office and see what he'll do.
Hmm. Well, we've been talking to Marjorie Dannenfelser and former Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave, both of the Susan B. Anthony list. They've done a wonderful job. They'll continue to do so. I appreciate both of you for many things that you do, but especially in defense of the unborn child. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is the 38th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, and it is a time to mourn, but a time to work. And God bless you both.
God bless you, Dr. Dobson.
And I just have to throw, Dr. Dobson, yesterday, Marilyn and I both worked very closely with a guy named Frank Cannon, who is a great strategist.
I know him well.
Yesterday, he said, "Can you believe that you're going on Dr. Dobson's show tomorrow? Can you remember 20 years ago, or whenever it was, in the early 90s, when you would have staked out in front of his house to get on the show?" And it's true. So I am really grateful. I mean, Marilyn, it's old hat to her, but not to me. So thank you, and it will help us very much.
Well, we will do it again.
Okay. We love you, Jim.
Thank you.
I remember the first time I met you, you came to offer the opening prayer in the House of Representatives in Colorado. Remember that like it was yesterday, and God bless you for your work. And you know, Marjorie brags on me, but what an incredible woman heading up SBA list. And Dr. Dobson, the things that you've said on the life issue through the years, I can tell you, having been in Congress, SBA list, even if I didn't work with them now, this is the pro-life organization that's making a difference in saving lives. So what a blessing to be associated with SBA list. And again, we love you and great to be with you today.
God be with you.
Our thanks again to Mrs. Marjorie Dannenfelser and former Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave for their insights on this special Sanctity of Human Life broadcast today. I can't tell you what an inspiration these two women have been to me personally. Hopefully, they've inspired you as well to get involved in this fight for life. To help you get started in that pursuit, we have a number of links at myfamilytalk.com, including one to their website, the Susan B. Anthony list. And also at myfamilytalk.com, you can request our special 3-CD set of broadcasts, all focusing on various angles of the life issue. Of course, if you prefer to call us, the number 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. We hope you found our week of programs dedicated to the sanctity of human life both informative and inspirational. This Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in many churches. Join us on our knees as we pray for an end to abortion.
Hi, everybody. Ryan Dobson here. Yesterday on the Family Talk broadcast, you may have heard us talk about the tragic situation my grounded co-host, Tobin Heim, finds himself in. His 38-year-old wife, Joanne, has suffered a massive stroke and is in critical condition. She's actually in a medically induced coma right now, and all we can do at this point is pray for a miracle, and we're asking you to join with us in supporting this family. There's also an opportunity for you to help this family in a very practical way through donating to help cover the astronomical medical bills that await the Himes. Anyone who donates towards the Heim Family Fund will receive a copy of the book Tobin and I wrote together called Wrecked, which ironically is about clinging to God through the tough times. Our publisher, Tyndale, has helped make this happen, and we are grateful to them for that. For more information on this, please go to myfamilytalk.com and click on the Help the Himes button. Again, that's at myfamilytalk.com. Or if you'd prefer to call us for that information, our phone number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. And thank you for joining us in support and in praying for a miracle.